始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
うんが。
まともに始めなさいよ。
かなり来てる無敵のパワー、マジでいい感じ。絶対カレンだから負けない、明日へ最後を。
Throwing our ID'd and getting plastered on sake. It's Anime Diet Radio, episode number 21. Woohoo! We're legal, I think. Not sure I remember last night, though. Like, for real, too. Like,
you were, I don't know, though, Mike. You were the only one that was stone cold sober, right? Well, not the only one. I can't really say that, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's the one who's saying it's a sin, and I just died in your arms tonight.
Yeah,
I'm a bunch of men.
It was a sin that he's saying I just died in your arms tonight. It was.
You're lucky that I didn't sing it with an Indian accent, the way that my friend used to sing it back in high school.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds scary.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
I just died in your arms tonight. It must have been something you said. Or something like that.
Okay, for all our Indian audience out there, we love you. That was not down in a mean spirit.
That was my friend. You can send all hate mail to John Milquintus, okay? He likes to call himself the Pope. So
for the huge Indian contingent that we have. In fact, that's pretty much what's propping our show, is the Indian contingent listening to us to try to learn how to improve their English. Which is probably not a good idea.
No, seriously, no offense was intended. That was a relic from my, I suppose, adolescence. And, yeah. And everybody was glad that, you see, what we did last night, Jeremy and I, we said farewell to Fred, who has posted a few articles for us in the past, Anime Diet, and he is now going to be leaving sunny Los Angeles for concrete New York City.
Whoa!
Indeed, indeed.
Well, at least he doesn't have to drive anymore, sorta.
No. We sent him off with a really, really raucous karaoke session last night, which ended with a body recitation of Nine Inch Nails' Closer, among other things. I can't believe we picked that song.
No, actually, wait. No, it didn't end with that.
No.
And no, I didn't pick that song. It wasn't me. Actually, it ended with the body recitation of We Are the Champions.
Ah, yes.
We are the champions. Since you were drinking, I'm thinking that's how you sounded.
A little more bass.
Yeah. Yeah. You also did not want to hear me try doing falsetto on some of those songs. I am not going to demonstrate that, no matter how much the girls may want me to. So.
Please.
No. I think everybody instead is just simply going to go. Yeah.
So what do we have on the agenda today, Mike?
Well, we've got two news items for today.
Do people know who we are?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm Michael Huang. Actually, I was pretty sober last night because I can't drink anymore. I'm coming in from Pasadena, California.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei and Taiwan, the city and the nation with the most liars in the world.
Oh, how about that national pride there? This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach.
And so, yeah, we've got two news items. We've got one piece of mail to answer, a fairly serious one. And we have a little roundtable about what's been going on so far in spring 2008, including shows like Kaiba and Kuranai and some other good stuff.
But it's all Himitsu.
Ah, yes. It's that revelation. But in either case, why don't we go ahead and move on to the first news item. Along long, long time ago, before we were called Anime Diet, we were called Scattered Cells. I remember writing an incredulous article about how UCC Coffee was actually marketing orange juice under the name of LCL in order to do some Evangelion tie-in. And I think this was actually in preparation for the Evangelion movie that was coming up at the time.
Oh, sure. The Evatar, like you, has that thing stock up in your storage or something.
I don't think even I would want to drink something like that.
Oh, come on, Mike. Nothing quenches your thirst like pseudo-embryonic fluid.
Quench your thirst for the wench.
In either case, apparently, some restaurants in Akihabara have been taking this idea one step further. The Cure Maid Cafe in Tokyo's Akihabara Otaku Shopping District, according to Anime News Network, is updating and reviving its Eva Cafe menu until May 18th to mark the April 25th DVD release of Evangelion movie. You know, you are not alone. Apparently, yes, there is an LCL drink. It is, in fact, orange juice, and it's served in a Puka Puka Raychon tumbler glass and appears to have chibi naked rays inside. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Yep. Naked rays.
Actually, they have, in some of the limited edition Evangelion DVDs, they have film strips inside the case. And all the ones that had film strips of Ray completely sold out, and now they're being auctioned on eBay for as much as, I think, $3,000. So, that's Ray fandom for you.
Yes, you said Ray fandom.
Yeah, I was absolutely talking about you, Ray. Yeah, absolutely.
And I was absolutely talking about you, and I said, naked rays.
Finally, I'm not the target anymore. Yes!
Ew, I think go sit over there. In fact, go sit over there.
Oh, wait. Come on, I'm several continents away.
Exactly. We're not even in the same location.
And it's not just LCL juice, of course. They have They have Sachio pasta, which is good ink pasta with a cheese angel head and a cherry tomato, and there's actually a picture on the Anime News Network website. And apparently you can even order cheesecake that has random lines of dialogue written on it from the show and character names.
Oh, wow.
And they even have cocktails, non-alcoholic cocktails, it seems, named after both Asuka and Rei, and they are colored orange and red, respectively, and blue and white. Though I think the one that really takes the cake, quote-unquote, apparently there is this thing, this little cake, at this other chain, where a crucified Lilith is sticking out of honey toast with the Nerf logo on it. Yeah.
Crucifixion on a cake.
It's the
crucifixion.
Hallelujah. Cake. Salvation comes to the humans today.
I can't think of anything that causes more theological conniptions and twists than something like that.
Man, you're gonna see the crusade happening in Japan, man.
Oh,
it's gonna be European knights against Japanese samurai. That's right! In the 21st century!
I think the Holy Britannian Empire has already done that, though. And we're learning all about it in that other show this season, Code Geass.
Unfortunately, it's not gay-ass anymore.
Nope. It's definitely not. Though there is definite, like, CisCon and even fake brother con in that show as well.
Fake.
I've been learning things from the things that Matt has been writing about in our reviews for the show, and that is what I have been learning. But in either case, Evangelion marketing, of course, has always been crass, overdone, and incredibly weird, and this just adds a new layer to that thing. Is there any other kinds of food you would love to see anime-fied that wouldn't be quite as sickening as LCL juice?
It wouldn't be quite as sickening? I mean, that's not exactly what I'm going for here. But if you want not quite as sickening, just entertaining, perhaps a dish straight from Death Note, Death Note-inspired, rather. How about Granny Shinigami's apple pie?
It'd be real apple pie.
Oh, yeah, it would. It wouldn't have, like, poison in it, would it?
For that down-home afterlife taste.
With the restaurant menu looking like Death Note.
There you go. Just don't sign the check. Don't use your credit card and sign the check.
That's not going to work, man. Everybody has a death eye in that restaurant. You're already dead. It's like Fist of a North Star. After right before you walk out restaurants, they said, you are already dead.
Now, taking off something I actually remember from last week, how about Menchie dog food?
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For some dessert, if you really want to have something tasty, and only watchers of Mushishi will really get this and appreciate it, but how about some eye ooze jello?
Yeesh.
Sounds like some American shows I call the Goosebumps and that Nickelodeon kids competition thing.
For those members of our audience who are not familiar with Mushishi, there's an episode where Mushishi are, in fact, if you're not even familiar with the show at all, are these kind of microscopic creatures somewhere between the spiritual and the physical world that not exactly insects, not exactly parasites, they're rather spiritual parasites probably would be a
good way to put it. They do not grow on your asses.
Yeah.
No.
They didn't have one of those, no. They didn't have the bunghole Mushishi. So
it's too classy.
That would be maybe a good episode for the outtake reel. But there was actually an episode where there was Mushishi that lived in the eyes of someone and actually caused them to go blind. And it was actually extracted by Ginkgo, the main character, and it comes flooding out like this big gushing, oozing water of gunk out of this person's eyes, just overflowing. And
Ghostbusters. I got an idea. You guys just want to go clean. I don't want to go clean, man. What about Moe bread?
Wait a minute. They've already done Moe bread. Didn't we ever talk about the Clannad bread in a can?
But that doesn't say Moe bread. It says Clannad bread. But now, I want something Moe. I want a Moe flavor of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be afraid I'd get a yeast infection.
Tell you what, though, Moe does actually not involve actual sexual intercourse, because that's to be too scary for the average otaku in Japan.
If anybody doesn't have anything else to add for this particular delicious segment.
And not so delicious.
Send us your suggestions in the comments box. Maybe we'll even say some of them on the air. In either case, why don't we go ahead and move on to our next and final news segment. There has been a relative lack of news for some interesting reason concerning the next season of Haruhi Suzumiya. It was initially, I believe, slated for release in fall of this year, fall 2008. And who knows, that may in fact still be a slim possibility. But we have some new information, which was, again, released through Anime News Network.
Finally!
Yep. It's long been known, of course, that this particular series will be based on the fourth novel, which is called The Disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya. And as the title implies, that may mean that Hirano Aya's most famous character is probably not going to get as much of a showing as before, and that it will focus instead on other characters such as Mikuru and Yuki. So fanboys of those characters rejoice, but I think Ray must be crying in his beer right now.
Oh, you suck! You suck, man! You cannot not have Haruhi-sama! You cannot have Aya-sama not be there! Damn it! Damn you!
I'm just surprised that a world without Haruhi still exists. I mean, we all know what Haruhi can do, right? So, I mean,
it'd be a huge-ass black hole in everyone's heart.
Exactly. But in either case, the staff listings have been changed around a couple of times in the last several months, and the most recent change around is that the original director that was originally slated, and it seemed to have been fired last time around, has been rehired as the so-called Brigade Chief Representative. And the person who was later designated as director has now been demoted back down to brigade chief assistant. Because, of course, the real brigade chief, after all, is Haruhi Suzumiya. Mm-hmm. No cast members have been announced yet, but I think it's a relatively safe bet that the original cast will be returning for very obvious reasons that the staff members of Kyoto Animation do not want their studio burned down. So... Yeah.
Taku riots.
Exactly.
Now, can we imagine, like, assassins with those Kansai fans? With paper fans. Assassins with paper fans. And it's Kyoto, right? So they have paper fan ninjas.
And they would just be, have bombs strapped to their back in those backpacks that they all carried around.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be suicide bombers.
Suicide paper bombs.
I thought it was actually pretty funny. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Library Wars later on, but there was an episode where there, in fact, was an otaku with a backpack, and he was sneaking around trying to cut out, like, a cheesecake picture, like a semi-pornographic picture from a magazine.
Yes, I remember episode 2.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. And so apparently that backpack stereotype is still alive and well, even within anime. And apparently, according to another piece of news, which is actually not part of Anime News Network story... the current issue, the June issue of New Type, actually does have an announcement saying that there will be a much more detailed list of news regarding Haruhi Suzumiya in the following issue, July. So we have to wait another month until we find out some more solid details, because all we have right now is just a poster with Yuki and nobody else at the moment. So who knows what's going to happen. Any of you who have actually read the fourth novel, The Disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya, would probably actually do well not to tell us what happens. Because I think I like to be surprised.
I don't know, maybe Haruhi is just going to be talking in Kyung's head, just like the Ghost in the Shell movie.
Oh, yeah, in Ghost in the Shell too. She's just like a spiritual guiding force for Kyung. That would make sense, given that she is supposed to be kind of a demigod. So...
Yeah, well, but Kyung will be annoying to death, and he'll probably jump off a cliff, and he'll just wake up the next day in the same bed.
Uh-oh. It's like Groundhog Day. All over again.
That's Karu's power.
Hmm. Maybe that's actually hell, too, you know?
Yeah, I kind of think that is hell. Wake up every day in the same world, that is hell.
And to hear that girl's voice in your head, like, yelling at you. That Tsundere voice. It's like... Well,
yeah, but we'll be heaven for you, though, Mike.
I think some people would actually really appreciate that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mike's dream is to have Asuka yelling in his head while waking up next to me every day.
Ah, just like episode 26, alternate version of Evangelion.
Yes.
The part that I'm sure they're not going to do in the new version of the movie. I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that anymore, because Anno is not into experimentation these days any longer. But yeah, that's pretty much all the information we have regarding Haruhi Suzumiya, because right now, Kyoto Animation is still very busy. They are basically busy selling themselves by basically doing all kinds of key animation adaptations, because the next season of Clannad is coming up, the after story, and they also want to do OVA for Lucky Star, if I remember correctly.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's really interesting because that Lucky Star OVA has, in fact, triggered a vociferous debate on the blogosphere all over again between haters of Lucky Stars and defenders. Apparently, this show really did divide some fans, and I remember I gave it an okay review. I thought it was fine for what it was, but it wasn't brilliant.
I really haven't seen all of it, so I can't really give, I think, a fair review until I finish watching it, so...
Ray and I both wrote reviews of our own, actually, if I recall correctly.
Oh, sorry, I was busy writing down the haters of Lucky Star in my Death Note.
Yeah, you're going to want to send that to Owen, because he's the leader of the brigade, of the pro-Lucky Star brigade, and he's calling everybody who doesn't like it idiots. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well done, Owen.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it really does seem that there is a lot of idolatry of this particular studio, and like that, I think some of the problem was that I think the different promoters tried to tie Lucky Star and Haruhi together because they have the same lead voice actress and everything in the same animation studio, but they're two really totally different shows.
Totally.
I can't imagine two shows like completely the opposite from each other. If only they didn't put in all these Haruhi like tie-ins and references in Lucky Star. But
there are kids starving in Japan and they're trying to get some money.
Exactly. Actually, Bandai, you know how Bandai USA is actually trying to promote it? They actually put a sticker on the DVD that just came out that says, if you liked Haruhi, you're going to love this.
Oh. I've never had those stickers work for me.
Yeah.
I've never bought something that says, if you love this, you'll really like this.
Mm. Can you imagine that on a casket? If you love this casket, you're going to love our next one. Or Death Note. Or Death Note. If you like this Death Note, you're going to like the next one.
There was actually another piece of news about how apparently they got permission to actually produce Death Note pillowcases and blankets in the United States.
Give it to some of your best friends. They will not wake up ever again.
Exactly. I'm surprised that they're not. Are they selling Death Note notebooks by any chance here in the United States?
Are they?
I thought they were. You can certainly make your own and get suspended from school that way these days, but.
Carry it around in a public. Take it to a school. Take it to your party. You will be a party favorite and in jail in no time. Oh, and put some of that grease on your ass.
And don't drop that soap. And so, if anybody doesn't have anything else to add, why don't we go ahead and...
Just one more thing, man. If you love this Moe bread, you're going to love that Moe dessert.
Ooh, sweeter than ever. It'll rot your teeth. Just like Moe should.
Yes. But is it kosher?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, if you love this Jewish Moe bread, never mind.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the anime Haggadah for Passover. Yeah, but I don't think I want to see that actually, and I hope to God that never ever appears.
Instead of seven candles, you're gonna see a Lilith cake.
I think that would violate all kinds of biblical prescriptions.
Send all your hate mails to Taiwan and please.
I think we've all committed our share of ethnic atrocities, like, today in this episode already. No. So, send all of your hate mail to everybody.
That's what we're here to do. That's our job.
Yeah.
It's our gift to society.
Okay, expect a heart attack in the next 2 minutes, I think.
We're going to go ahead and move on to our one and only piece of mail.
Got a box full of letters, think you might like to read. Some things that you might like to see, but they're
all right, we are back with the mailbag section. We actually had two pieces of mail for Anime Diet Radio episode 20, 20th Century Fox Spirits. One is serious and the other is asking for a link. And so, a Japanese reader, actually. And so, but first we want to get to the serious piece of mail, which is from Scythe. And he's not even actually complaining about something we said in the show. It's more about something I actually wrote up in the show notes as I was producing it and uploading it.
Wow.
Yeah. I noted originally in that episode, we noted that Code Geass is probably the most popular show of the season and is one of the most highly anticipated ones. But apparently, according to some ratings statistics that have been floating around recently, Code Geass actually has been getting terrible ratings for its time slot. To Love You is actually getting higher ratings at this moment. Now,
Moe Banzai! Moe Banzai! Moe Banzai!
And so the thing is that I kind of noted that it's getting terrible ratings, and so it sounded like I was taking back our assertion that Code Geass is in fact popular. And this is contrary to the fact that Code Geass reviews by Matt have been getting us tons of hits every weekend. So, but Side wants to add to this, and I think he has some pertinent points to it. Side says, Terrible Code Geass R2 ratings among the general TV mainstream doesn't negate the fact that the show is extremely popular online. I think there's no doubt about that, especially in the blogosphere. Not just in Western, but also Japanese fandom. And that the DVDs for the first season, which also had crap ratings on TV, sold extremely, extremely well. Check out the sales numbers. That should tell you enough. I think he has a good point there. That's happened before in television history, of course, not just in Japan, but here in America. Think of Firefly by...
Joss Whedon.
I'm sorry, I blanked out on his name. Yeah, and so that's probably a really good point. It's one of those... I mean, if you actually... And he mentions in Japanese fandom, I remember reading that in Tuchan, you know, the Code Geass threads are by far, you know, the biggest. And so... So it's probably popular within anime fandom, but is actually showing in a primetime television spot right now. Kind of similar to how Evangelion was showing in primetime at its time. Like, you know, in the evenings on the weekdays or something along those lines. But I know it's actually showing on Sunday because we get the fan subs the next day. And, or to put it another way, few of you guys would doubt that Haruhi is popular and that its DVDs also sold extremely well. But its Japanese TV ratings weren't that good as well. That's an interesting point, actually. I did not know that its TV ratings weren't that good either.
What, do their TV ratings count the commoners? Hmm. The Ibanjin, the normal people?
See, no, well, by definition, TV ratings is a random sample of an audience.
Exactly.
So it's everybody.
Can you imagine a housewife mooing over Haruhi? I don't think so.
Oh.
Can you imagine a house? Wait a minute, but you sure can imagine a housewife mooing over Lelouch? Oh well,
or the upcoming Winter Garden anime, by starring that Korean Bishonen dude. He says he adds that afterwards. The moral of the story: TV ratings, which try to measure how popular something is among Japanese viewers as a whole, including those who are merely casual fans, don't even tell half the whole story. If you're going to claim that something isn't popular only based on TV ratings, then many other shows you assume to be popular would have to be reclassified as well, even if their sales were awesome and their avatars populate message board forums. Okay.
I love that he uses as a measure of popularity that their avatars populate message board forums. Like, this is some like universal sign of measuring popularity. I find that somewhat humorous, I just have to say. And, you know... Granted, it sounds like he has some good points, but it just—he sounds angry. Why are you so angry, Scythe? Why are you this angry Scythe walking around wanting to cut people, Scythe? Why is it? Tell us. Let us help you. Help me. Help you, Scythe.
Jerry.
Jerry.
No. You got the wrong Jerry, asswipe.
I was trying to incite a riot. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I thought we were getting a little too sedate there. And you finally started getting
it. Just, you know, I mean, that's all fine and good. I just, you know, just want to help calm his anger so that, you know, he can be happy again. That's all. I like for people to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just go back to your happy place.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah. I think overall TV ratings, I mean, it might be just another reminder that, of course, in reality, anime is still a relatively only part of the entire Japanese television output every year. You know, there's just like American television, you've got a huge variety of different shows. I'm sure many more people watch like your average, you know, nighttime drama the same way people watch CSI or Lost or something like that. And yeah, DVD sales often don't match ratings. That happened with Firefly. And sometimes in America, actually, I would add that the DVD sales of Haruhi Suzumiya were really bad. That might explain why Bandai was so desperate and put that sticker on Lucky Star, because they're afraid that Lucky Star is going to tank in sales as well. But in Japan, of course, Haruhi Suzumiya DVD sold really well, and the Evangelion movie DVD that came out a couple of weeks ago is selling like... Well, you can't find them anymore, actually. They're just completely sold out in Japan. So it's not as if... It's like, I think sometimes as Americans...
We're praying hard enough on the Anno Shrine.
Yeah. I don't think Anno needs my prayers at this moment because he's raking in the dough big time.
Well, just royalties alone on those, you know, angel hair pasta dishes. I mean...
Exactly. And all the Ray fanboys, like, buying up all those Ray film strips.
Film strips.
And, like, some of the covers are different, too. Like, some covers have Misato on it. Some covers are Shinji on it. Well, the covers with Ray on it are all gone.
Who bought the Shinji ones?
Well, I don't think. I think that's the only one that isn't sold out yet. I think that tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. And he's whining about it right now.
I'm sure he is.
Why? Why are my film strips not sold out? No!
Well, I do want to address the whole thing about Avatar's populating message board forums. Actually, I don't think that's an entirely unfair measure of popularity.
No, it just seems really odd. I mean, I doubt that they have, like, studio execs going out there, you know, or studio execs getting their underlings going, Johnny, I want you to get out there and see what avatars are on the message boards, because we want to know what's the hot new character for this season, and I need you to do it now.
Right away, Mr. Jameson. I mean, it's like, well, actually, I don't think it's very different from, I think I can personally tell if a show is popular or not by how many people are cosplaying from that show at a convention. It's a measure in a way of casual fandom, or in the case of cosplaying, hardcore fandom. But it's kind of how I've seen people who have adopted, for instance, Mega Tokyo icons in their for their avatars, and I don't think they're necessarily Mega Tokyo fans. Like, those images have spread. Same thing with Rei Ayanami, actually. Rei Ayanami, in some circles, has become almost symbolic apart from Neon Genesis Evangelion. Became almost a cultural symbol around the time, around the 90s, around the time when it was first really popular. So
I mean, there's a lot of people with, like, avatars of things that they don't even know what the hell it is, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, just like you said, just because somebody uses an avatar doesn't necessarily mean that they're, like, going to go out and buy the movies, or it's a good idea to make a, you know, a new series based upon that character. I mean, because if that was the case, you'd have a brand new TV show about some cat with a sniper rifle. You know,
that doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, if it was a cat girl.
You know what? That's actually is a good idea. I like that.
Yeah,
Jameson, get me a cat with a sniper rifle now.
Cat girl nuku with rifles.
No, with nuclear weapons.
Oh, even better.
Nuku.
Cat girl in bikinis with machine guns.
Ah, we got it.
Hey, come on. I that's never been done in anime.
I think it already has.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
But, ultimately, of course, the industry is a business. And ultimately, what matters is sales. And as long as the sales numbers are awesome, then I think Scythe has a really good point.
Yeah, I agree with
that's
that.
That's all about the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I think we want to briefly address Bun Bun Girl.
Do we really?
Bun Bun Girl, assuming it is in fact a she, asks us, is the Japanese animated cartoon good? And she also invites us to link to her blog.
Yeah, we'll respect if she understands what we're saying right now.
Yeah, I would totally respect that. And I want to thank her, first of all, for showing interest, but I have to say that at this time we are not actually taking affiliations and linkbacks at this time so we have to politely decline your request, and but you know, keep it up. You know, actually the site looks legit. Unfortunately, I can't read any of it because unfortunately none of us know any Japanese, so we're very sorry. I mean, we appreciate that you have come and commented on our blog, however, and we encourage you to check out lots of other blogs and to keep reading if it helps you, you know, improve your English, you know, all the better.
what exactly are you trying to say, Mike? what was with that comment, Mike? Tell me, what was the hidden message in that comment, Mike? Can you care to elaborate? How it helps you to improve your English? What exactly are you trying to say?
I think she just inhabited my body for a second. And so I have a double identity right now.
Are you saying that you hope that she's a hot girl and she'll send you her Skype name so you can chat online and send webcam pictures back and forth?
Chris is most likely a Japanese high school girl, right? Oh.
Let's not go there right now. Yeah, I don't think I want to get arrested today. So, or cause any international incidents.
Yeah, you know, come on. International law? Come on.
It would require diplomatic immunity I don't possess.
Now you're just gonna have to fend off ninjas with paper fans.
No offense, you know, just thank you for commenting, and we'll just leave it at that. And why don't we go ahead and move on before this gets any further down into the roundtable section. The roundtable section is coming next, brought to you courtesy of Monty Python.
When that's the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines to corner scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
Yes, and we, of course, we close every episode with our roundtable discussion of the current season. So, and I've been actually catching up quite a lot over this past weekend, and I've watched a couple of very interesting shows. And Ray, I think you've been watching some interesting shows as well. And Jeremy, it looks like you haven't been catching up as much, you slacker.
Love it. Sounds like you've been watching some interesting shows, Ray, but Jeremy, you just are a complete, total slacktard.
Yes, you are.
Jeremy, you have sinned. Now repent.
Yes, I have. I've been actually basically trying to break out of my otaku mold, I think. I've been actually busy with a social life.
Traitor!
Oh, that was a backhanded statement. Ow.
You traitor! Turn in your nerd card now.
I'm gonna move back into my Otaku Realm and stress one of the issues that I'm actually having is a complete and total bandwidth issue problem. So my anime downloading days have been kind of brought to a screeching halt lately, because I've had so much other work I've had to do online, and I can't download at the same time that I'm actually working, and half the time I've been so busy with other things that I forget to set episodes to download at night, and yeah, I've basically been being total slacktard.
Anybody who can recommend him a good ISP in the LA area?
Yeah, no, actually, I think I'm going to have that solved soon, but I have to do some battling with Verizon to get to their customer service to get to some satisfaction, but as the Rolling Stone says, I can't get no satisfaction.
As he sang so hard last night.
Yes.
Oh. Okay, and so I'm going to be talking a little bit about Toshokan Senso, aka Library War, as well as my current favorite show of the season, Kaiba, which I think is the most intelligent and in many ways some of the most moving material that I've seen so far in anime this season. Ray, what will you be talking about?
Nichu Menso Musume, or The Daughter of 20 Faces.
Starring
Hironaya.
Of course. And Jeremy, how will you be contributing tonight?
As I said before, it is a Himitsu secret. No, actually, I'm going to be talking about Himitsu and Amatsuki. So, basically, I've only been able to watch a single episode of those, so it's just going to be sort of an introduction to them, in my opinion, so the start of those shows and what I think. So, yeah, I know. There's plenty of you like, oh, what? It's already up to episode 5. You're not an otaku. I will not listen to you anymore. But yeah, I've just been horribly busy and I want to watch it. And I will. But that is where it's at.
All right. I guess I'm just going to go ahead and start the discussion. And I actually started a Toshokan Senso rather late. Like, it was one of the things I put on my spring preview post that I was interested in looking at purely based because of the title. Library War. I mean, come on. How could I not love that? I'm an English major. I mean, geez. I mean, I spent my whole life surrounded by books. I loved Read or Die. I mean, I thought Read or Die was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, especially because it's about librarians and humanities majors saving the world. And turns out that Library War is, I don't know how to put it. I know it's really dumb. Like, the premise is so incredibly absurd. I just couldn't stop watching it. Like, I've seen up to episode 5 already, and I saw that in, like, one day. I'm serious. I just couldn't stop watching it. It was just so addictive. Like, here's the funny thing. Like, if it were not a show about library paramilitary troopers defending books against a government media cleansing enforcement department, it would be a relatively regular ho-hum, like, ditzy girl joins the army show. Because that's what the vast majority of the episode is about. It's about this young woman who's just out of high school who, because, like, this really nice prince-like guy who she doesn't remember saved her purchase of a book one day, she decides to join the library forces. This takes place in a world where, inexplicably, you have two competing sets of government agencies that are fighting each other. One is the military force that protects the library books, and one is, like, a government, like, censorship division. And they both have at it with real guns. People actually die and get hurt in this war, this library war over books. And she goes through some really, you know, if you think about it, somewhat predictable, you know, comedic hijinks about the fact that she is rather ditzy. And she's hid the fact that she is actually in the army from her parents. And she's actually caught later on in a love triangle between the snootiest best student in her, like, brigade and her superior, who's actually shorter than she is. Kind of like Colonel Mustang in Fullmetal Alchemist, who's the character he most reminds me of. And so it's really kind of a fairly, I would even dare say, stereotypical comedy in that regard. But because it's about libraries, and it's because about books, somehow it's just 10 times funnier that way. I don't understand either. Now, have any of you guys actually seen it so far?
I've watched up to episode 2, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now you said it, I don't think I'm going to watch any more of this anyway. It really isn't all that interesting.
I mean, if you think about it, yeah, it's not that remarkable. What makes it remarkable is the setting. And the setting is utterly absurd. And so...
Right, it's happening in Japan. That's the most absurding part. You have two competing military departments?
No. Yeah. They both throw the law at each other, too. Like, you know, under article number 34, section whatever like that, I have the authority to do this. It's like, no, under article something, we have the authority to do this!
That's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
No, under article 34C9264, I have the ability to do this, so top that!
And then the guns start coming out, like, for
it's
real,
a,
too.
It's like kind of like an advanced form of, no, you're not, yes, I am. No, you're not, yes, I am. No, you're not, yes, I am. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Wait, oh.
I double stamp you. No, I double stamp and I put a hard stick on you.
I double dodecahedron stamp you.
Oh, Mike with the touchdown.
I just think you out-nerded us, Mike.
Yeah, and so that's really... There's really not much to write about, which is why I haven't written an article about it. It's, like, hard to really analyze. It's just this fun... It's one of those shows I've always called easy to watch. So, and so I want to move on and just talk about something that really is meaningful and wonderful and unique and even moving, and that's Kaiba. That's the only show I've actually been regularly writing something for every single episode as I come out. And I think it's a very, very worthwhile piece. It's about a young... boy, we think it's a boy, who wakes up with no memories in a world where memories can be bought and sold and bodies can be transferred willy-nilly if you have the money. And it's done in a very unconventional art style. Kind of looks like Osamu Tezuka with a little bit of Tantan, a little bit of European comics influence. And it's just, the art's very flat, very colorful, and very round. I don't know how else to describe it. It's very unconventional. It's almost not anime in some respects. But it tells a very moving story, I think, of Kaiba going around from place to place, kind of looking for his girlfriend, looking for a missing... Like, it's as if he had a missing heart. There's, like, a hole in his chest, a literal hole in his chest. He does actually have to change bodies once in a while, but most of the time so far, he's been just visiting different people with different problems that are related to memory loss or having changed bodies or something, like, related to that concept, and it's actually really, really emotionally engaging. Like, it's very human. It's not just an intellectual exercise, which is sometimes how Ghost in the Shell sometimes ended up. It's really actually got some really good acting, some really good writing, and a lot of us on the Anime Blogging Collective in particular are very, very fond of this show. So, have any of you guys actually watched it as well?
I haven't seen it. Of course, I haven't seen anything, so.
Yeah.
I watched episode 1, so.
I would advise anybody who's starting out to at least hold on to episode 3. I thought episode 3 was really fantastically moving. and I think is the best one so far. Episode 4 was a little bit of a letdown by comparison. But I'm certainly looking forward to the next episode, and I wouldn't be surprised if I declare the show the best of the season so far. It's definitely very thought-provoking and very emotionally engaging. It touches your head and your heart. Highly recommended. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Ray, why don't you go ahead and talk about your Hirano Aya obsession?
Oh, yeah. It's leaving me very little time to do it, huh? I'm just kidding. But in any case, Hirano Aya is doing two shows this season, which are Zedai Cannon Children, which I'm not going to talk about, and one that seems to be somewhat of a fan favorite, which is Niju Menso Musume, or The Daughter with 20 Faces. Now, she does not sound like her usual self. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I happen to run a Cyber Hirano Aya club on myanimelist.com, and that was not a plug. The reason I said it is because I did a poll, and people seem to like that one, so the Niju Menso Musume so far. She plays this girl, Chizuko, who is a heiress to a rich fortune, but, well, like a classic, I guess, shoujo manga or whatever plot, she was living in her uncle and her aunt's house, and they were trying to poison her.
Hmm.
So, yeah, basically, but she was extremely smart, and she knew what was going on, but of course she had to eat some of the food, so that's why she was really thin and frail, and yeah, she was really brave. So one day on the news, she read about this 20 faced like a thief or robber guy, or he's like Arsene Lupin, or if you think about Lupin the Third, he's like that, and so she wants to be there basically with him. Anyway, yeah, so he's like this grown up guy, and she's like this girl, and you know, there are a lot of lolicons out there thinking something different. Well, that doesn't happen in the show. He's really like a dad to her in many ways, or older brother at least. So she goes through a lot of changes, and yeah, I would say she like putting some emotional range and different, like her voice is definitely different, and I think she's acting pretty well for what she does. As far as the overall show, she hasn't grown up yet. It's obvious she's going to have to be main character sometime in the show, but I think the show is slated for like 51 episodes. Ooh. So that's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should introduce this show to Dan, Jeremy. You know, he's such a huge Lupin fan. Yeah.
It looks like it will be like a girl Lupin later, probably.
Ah, I see. So she's going to become a thief herself, right?
Yeah, she's probably going to take over the role as leading the gang. Of course, there's a gang. And of course, that gang basically, you know, has a lot of wealth and, you know, and stuff, but they only rob the rich and give to the poor.
Mm.
Or that's what they do most of the time. Right. Or sometimes it's unrighteous treasure or something. And of course, there are tricks within every episode, but they always know what to look for and see through it. Which is pretty smart, which is pretty intelligent, I think.
Mm. That's good. I think it's really good that she's trying to branch out into very different kinds of roles. I think she's been stuck in kind of that Konota Haruhi trap for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
mm-hmm.
like in Zetai Karen Children.
Right.
She sounds just like Konota in that one. So.
She sounds like a younger Konota with a little bit more Ojisan style.
Right. Well, she already had male otaku fetishes in Lucky Star to begin with. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's good news for her, I think. I mean, that shows that she wants to do something different. And I guess if they're going to call her back for the second season of Haruhi, maybe she won't have to rely on that as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. She's definitely not probably going to be appearing at AX this year. But,
no!
Yeah, not after that fiasco.
Yeah. Damn you, AX, damn you!
I haven't seen that show myself, and Jeremy, you haven't either, right? Yeah. So Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and talk about what your show is, unless Ray, you have anything else to add?
Nope.
Is that it? I thought you had more than one show, Ray. No?
No. I just do one show every time. I'm focused.
See, there you go. Shows how much I pay attention. I'm usually just drinking and smoking a doobie while we're doing this anyway, so. I'm just kidding. For those of you out there, no illicit drug use, boys and girls.
Really? I thought I could have told. It sounded like you were sometimes.
Yeah, sounds like it. It's probably just me. I don't have anything witty to put in there, so sorry.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and close us up today?
I'll just make a quick run over on Amatsuki and tell you a little bit about Himitsu, and which really I don't have a lot to tell you since I only really watched one episode, so it's just kind of an introduction for those of you that haven't watched it to give my feelings on it. Basically, Amatsuki, and I'm not sure how the rest of the series is going to go, but it definitely has an interesting opener. The storyline is basically that a high school student, you know, typical Japanese high school student, he's taking a class, kind of a makeup class for his history classes, and this obviously is in the future because they have full-on virtual reality, so he goes to a Edo period exhibit in which he's wandering around in this virtual reality area with his VR goggles on, totally immersed in the Edo period world, when he realizes that after being attacked by a mythical Japanese creature called a Nue.
Not Moe?
Yeah, not a Moe. Which apparently is supposed to have the body of a Tanuki. Which I'm not sure ball sack included, but the body of a Tanuki, the head of like a tiger and the tail of a... is it the arms of a tiger... And I forget now, in the tail of a snake or something to that effect. But basically, it doesn't really look too much like that. But this mythical creature, head of a baboon, that's what it was. It does kind of look that, actually. Attacks him. And which he realizes, hey, what the hell? I'm bleeding. I hurt. He took my eye out. And, his goggles, he realizes they're laying on the ground broken. So obviously, something's gone really wrong. So he's apparently trapped in this virtual world in the Edo period with all these strange mythical creatures that only he and a couple other people can see. It's a kind of interesting little story. I'd be interesting to see where they take it. But,
Ray, you saw it, didn't you?
Yeah. I'd say it's probably not exactly a virtual world. But that's all I'm going to say about it for now.
Right. Yeah, it appears that there's a bit more to it, but it seems like a virtual world. It starts out in a virtual world, and then, there he is. Oh, one interesting thing is the character is a very carefree character. In fact, he's quoted as saying in this show, he's like, this is just kind of like where I'm at. I'm just kind of rolling with it. That's how I've always lived. That's why I can always smile no matter what's happening. And he has a very carefree attitude, which his name is... Toki Doki, which means sometimes in Japanese. So sometimes things go this way, sometimes things go that way. I don't know what the author's trying to say, but anyhow. The Himitsu, the revelation.
I've seen one episode of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you got Section 9 again.
They really are called Section 9, yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned it, but it's actually the 9th Forensic Lab of the National Research Institute of Police Science, Daiku. Anyhow, they use technology to basically take images from people's brains. Basically, do like an MRI scan, this super high-tech computer that they throw a brain in within 48 hours after the person's dead, and they can sift through all their memories and watch it like a porno or something.
I bet that's what they're really using it for.
Yeah, it's really what it is. It's just a secret police agency dedicated to bootleg pornos.
It's the instant. It's the image. Porno making image device. Throw your brain in, 3 seconds in the microwave, and ding.
Yeah, we have some otaku salivating right now, but it's probably not a good idea. I started watching the show. What's interesting is I actually started watching the show, and about like maybe 10 minutes into the show, the main character, Maki, who's the leader of Daiku, I believe, and Aoki have this very BL moment.
What?
Where
that's what Maki, you didn't realize about this show, right?
Yeah. Maki is asleep on the couch, and Aoki reaches over to wake him up, and Maki grasps his hand as he wakes up and utters a name that he was thinking about in his sleep, and their eyes lock, and there's this just magical sort of moment, and I'm thinking, oh, great. And so after that, I stopped watching it. And then actually, I did pick it up later after reading about it and started watching it again, and actually seems like it has a pretty decent storyline. There's a few moments it's just a little over the top when they do this whole, like, they're coming down the hallway to the computer room in a very, like, right stuff moment, all marching in, like, sequence with Maki in front and all his minions in the back in this orderly row, and they're just marching down the hallway to go to the computer room. It seems a little over the top. And especially when he tells, you know, computer on, scan. You know, he commands it like Captain Kirk. So it's a bit over the top, but it seems like some of the... And it seems like it might be episodal and different stories that go on, different mysteries that they have. But they seem interesting enough. It's an interesting enough concept to just kind of sit and watch. It's kind of a popcorn sort of show if you can squeeze past the hopefully not over-the-top BL tones of the show.
Just say Captain Kirk. So is that a Spock in their toe?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Slash thing.
Sort of, yeah.
The origins of Slash Fake,
except,
right there.
Except he doesn't have pointy ears. It's just, you know, something else is no, never mind. Anyhow, we will not go there, ladies and gentlemen. We will not. We adhere to a strict moral code here at Anime Diet Radio.
You know, when I first picked up that show, I had absolutely no idea that it was supposed to have BL overtones. It was. I picked it up purely as based on its concept, on its science fiction Minority Report style kind of concept.
No, totally. That's same here. Same here, and that's why, like I said.
Yeah.
When I reached that point, I was kind of like, you know, because basically what happened is that happened shortly after I watched, was it Monochrome?
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't know either. And that one was I was like, wow, okay. He just kissed that dude. Like,
you didn't know.
And he looks like he used his tongue.
Oh. Jeremy, just stay away from Junjo Romantica. That's all you need to know about shit.
Yeah.
BL shows, man. What were you wrong with you guys?
I didn't watch Junjo Romantica.
How do you know about it then?
Sure.
Reviews.
Yeah, but no, I don't know. If you can get past that, and I don't know how much over the top it is, so if you have a strong sensitivity to that, and if you don't care, whatever. You know, it has some interesting concepts. I think it could be entertaining, have some nice science fiction aspects. Okay. But
Well, does anybody have anything else to add before we go ahead and close up this episode?
Stick a fork in us.
Yep, we are done and ready. This is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 21. You don't have to card us anymore. I'm your host, Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hugh, again from the country and the city with the most liars, and you can drink until you die.
This is Jeremy from Redondo.
Signing off.